Yeah, we can go home now. That was it. Holy moly, that was great. Thank you so much. So, we made it. We made it through the whole month of January in these talks about awaken your spirit. How powerful is that, right? We talked about, well, first week, wake up. The second week, smell the coffee. I love that. Third week, it was a brand new day. And last week, we talked about limitless power. And here we are today to recognize your life is calling. Your life is calling. Now, we have to understand our life is calling all the time, right? Our life is calling to us all the time. Sometimes we let it go to voicemail. Sometimes we hang up when we don't like what it's saying. You know, we don't like what it has to say. We don't like what we hear. We'll just hang up on it. Sometimes we don't even recognize that it's for us, right? Sometimes life is calling and we don't even recognize it. You hear ring, 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 and it's like, oh God, will somebody get that, you know, because it can't possibly be for me. But life is calling to us all the time. Life is forever whispering in our ear. It is forever calling us. It's forever trying to get our attention. It is our highest and best self. It is that God self. It is that seed of perfection within us. And it's always trying to get our attention. It's always whispering in our ear, trying to get us to grow. Trying to get us to grow, to be more of what Spirit knows us to be. So sometimes we answer the call if we feel like it, if we're in the mood, maybe. But remember, it's our own highest nature. It is the I am of each person. It is the I am within us that is calling us, that is urging us on, you know, like those old horror movies. You know, the call is coming from inside the house. It really is. It's coming from inside the house. So we have to understand, we have to recognize the innermost God and the outermost God are one in the same. It is the same thing. So we know the truth of us. It is the highest and best good in ourselves that knows the truth of us, knows who we are, knows our potential and who we can be. And it is forever urging us on. We are forever getting that call from within. It is the spiritual truth of us seeking a greater experience of life through us, as us in the world. That's what's always calling to us. And we are being hailed when things are going great, and we're being hailed when things are going to hell. You know, it all the time, through good or through bad. You know, in the bad, it's like, well, how much better can it get? You know, in fact, when things are going haywire, that's when our spiritual nature is really yelling the loudest to get our attention. You know, a lot of times that's what those very experiences are all about. You may recognize them as the ow part of growth, you know? You know, the OW in the middle of the word. Sometimes we have those experiences, and that is also spirit trying to get our attention. When things start going to hell, we pay more attention, don't we? All of a sudden we go, hey, why is this happening, you know? When everything's going great, we're just cruising along. Sometimes we don't use that inner voice to the extent that we can, but when things start going off the boil, all of a sudden, we're listening, right? All of a sudden, it gets our attention. Every experience has something to offer us. Every experience comes with a gift in its hand. Everything that happens to us is something we can use to grow. It is the call. It is the call to awaken. And that's what we're here to do. That's our mission, you know, on earth in physical bodies. We are here to awaken. We are here to awaken to our spiritual nature. We are here to awaken to our magnificence. We are here to awaken to the power and presence of Spirit as us in the world so we can be about the business of Spirit. Ernest Holmes said this I think it was a talk he did all the way back in 52. Anyway, he said this, I have said many times that of all the frustrated people in the world, the frustrated metaphysician is the worst. Because he's asked for more, believed in more, he knows there is more. If you and I know there is some silent operation in our own consciousness that can produce good for us and we don't use it, we are like the light under the bushel. Yes? Okay, he goes on to say, we are dissatisfied, unhappy, because we know we are not living up to the highest levels, the highest use of our own consciousness. Right? And that is the frustrating part, and that is the unhappy part. So we must awaken to that truth. You know, we got to take responsibility for just how great we are. We have to take responsibility. And what better way to wake up than with the spiritual 2x4? Yes, there are better ways to wake up than with the spiritual 2x4. But you know, when life is sucking, it gets our attention. It absolutely gets our attention. The discomfort forces us deeper into our spiritual beliefs or abandons them. You know, one or the other. But it can force us deeper into our spiritual beliefs. So we actually have to prove these principles. We have to prove the principles work. So here are some of the ways we make our lives suck, right? Just so you can identify them when that happens next. We think we're not happy. There's number one. We think we're not happy. And we have to understand happiness is a choice. It's not an event. You know, it's not a result of something happening. It's a choice we make. We can choose happiness regardless of what's happening. When our happiness is dependent upon external events, we are riding life's little roller coaster, aren't we? Man, you know, yay, I'm happy. Everything is going the way I think it ought to, you know. Yay, it's terrific. Oh, God, I'm miserable because nothing is working out the way I want it to. We're constantly riding that roller coaster. We're happy, we're sad. We're happy, we're sad. We're happy, we're sad. Because our happiness is dependent upon conditions. And what do we know about conditions? They're always changing. They are always changing. So when we you know, hitch our wagon to that star, you're just going to ride that roller coaster, up and down, happy, sad, happy, sad. We know that our happiness is not dependent on conditions. The happiness comes from within. We bring it. It's not the result of what happens to us. We choose happiness. When we hook it to events and conditions, we're choosing misery. We're choosing, you know, that makes life suck. That's one of the ways. Okay, so here's another way. We are afraid of or we avoid criticism from other people. Now, let me tell you something. The only way to avoid being criticized by other people is to do everything that everybody else wants you to do. Okay? That is the only way to avoid criticism. And of course, you wind up living their life, not yours. Make sense? And that will not make you happy, which goes back to number one way your life sucks, right? That will not make you happy. Your way is your way, and someone else's is someone else's. And if you're being criticized for the stuff you're doing, you can bet you're on your own track. And that's a good thing. You're on your happy track, you know? And if you're being criticized by other people, that's a good thing. That means you are standing in your own power, your own integrity, doing things your own way. So don't be afraid of trying different things, new ways to find your way. And if you get snarky feedback from other people, you're probably doing it right. Okay? Good way. Good thing to remember. Number three, we don't want to be last. We don't want to be last. You know, it's kind of like human nature. We just don't want to be last. Everybody wants to be first. Nobody wants to be last. However, being last has benefits. You know, being last can mean you didn't give up. Being last means you made it. You know those people, I love those people in marathons. You know, they come in like, you know, 8 hours after everybody's finished. They completed it. That's wonderful. They're last and it's okay. You know, sometimes being last means you had a goal and you accomplished it. You didn't give in. You didn't give up, and you didn't abandon your goal, and you didn't use, you know, any of those, oh, well, I just pivoted and I did this instead. Oh, bullshit, you know. You gave up on it. I'm sorry. I'm not even apologizing anymore. It's kind of like that hangover of being born and raised in New York. So being last can be a good thing. It means you didn't give up on your goal. You made it. Yay. Being last can also mean you're not a bandwagon jumper. Anybody jump on the bandwagon? Do we have bandwagon jumpers? No. You don't need to, you know. I've been told I have a very long runway. I took it as a compliment. I don't know if it was meant that way, but I took it as a compliment. I have a very long runway. I think about things. I pray on things. I meditate about them. I take a long time to decide. It's okay. It's okay. So I may come in last. But, you know, we don't jump. We don't jump to acquire the latest and the greatest. We don't participate in what the psychologists call the hedonistic adaptation. You know, have to have the latest thing. You know those people that stand outside the store all night long to get the latest iPhone or whatever it is. Hedonistic adaptation. We need to have the latest and the greatest thing. It becomes a never-ending dissatisfaction. We're never happy with what we have because we're waiting for the new thing to drop. You know? So we get stuck on that treadmill of the newest and the latest and the greatest. So being last to do something is not terrible. You know? We don't have to avoid being last. So other ways do we make our lives suck? We don't complete things. Man, that makes your life suck, doesn't it? You don't complete things. Now, in business, that would mean we're all research and development and we're no shipping. You know? If you're all research and development but no shipping, you got a problem. In our personal lives, it means we don't fail because we never see anything to completion. Can't possibly fail if we don't complete anything. You know that book that's in its seventh revision in your computer? You know, you keep, you know, updating, that book that you're writing? Or you know the book that you completed, but it's in your desk collecting dust because you don't have the nerve to send it to a publisher to get rejected? That's never completing something. You know that easel in the corner of your studio that doesn't have paint dripping off of it because you're not starting your new painting? Or the kayak that's in your garage never getting wet? You know? Or that 5K run you never registered for. If we don't see things through to completion, we can't move on to the next thing. And the interesting thing that every ending has with it a new and fresh beginning. It's like that door that closes one thing, opens another. Every completion has in itself a new and blessed beginning of something else. But when we don't complete, we can't move on and experience the new thing. And that really sucks. Fifth way, I guess, we really make our lives sucky is that we wait. We wait. We wait for the right time. We wait for the right people. We wait for the right degree. We wait for the right job, the right house. We wait to live in the right state. We wait for the right state of consciousness. It's never, ever going to get you there by waiting. We wait for the right fill in the blank. And it's never going to be the right whatever. And we spend our time waiting and not living. You know? So these are the I would say most common ways in which we create suck in our lives. That's kind of what we do. So life is calling us in those times. Those times when we're experiencing that stuff, life is calling to us just as much as it's calling us in the good times. And then we begin to seek when life isn't going to hell, right? We begin to seek. We tend to listen when all of our good ideas aren't working. When all of the stuff we think we should be doing and can be doing and have to be doing, when all of that is no longer working for us, we tend to begin to listen. And so we take the call. We finally take the call, right? I've tried everything I know to make my life work, and it doesn't work. So I'm finally going to listen to spirit. I'm finally going to listen to the call. And so the call says, the number you have reached is no longer in service. I'm kidding. No, it doesn't. Please. No, it doesn't. You think you've gotten this message in error? No. When we have tried and struggled and insisted on knowing where happiness is and it's not there, and all we got was frustration and aggravation and stuck in the same old ways and the same old places, we're finally ready to surrender to the ideas that spirit has for us. And they're great ideas. We are all born for great things. They don't have to be big things, but they're great things. We are all born for great things. We are born for more than paying the bills and dying. You know, we're here to contribute. We're here to make life better. We're here to do great things in our own small little ways. You know how you can tell? You know, I facilitate classes. I talk to people. I have sessions. And when someone starts talking about his or her passion And you can see it. And you know, we do this as friends with each other too, don't we? When your friend is talking to you, they start talking about something and it just lights them up, right? And they start getting really animated and they start talking about this thing that they love, and they go on and you can just see in them everything lights up. And they talk faster and they talk with emotion, and we witness all of this and we know this is what they should be doing. This is what they should be doing in the world. We can see it so clearly when someone is speaking to their passion. And sometimes, you know, it's sometimes in the middle of it, they're all excited and they're all talking about this thing that just lights them up and they'd love to do, or they get such joy in volunteering doing or whatever it is. And right smack in the middle of it, sometimes they'll say, you know, I'm sorry for getting carried away. You know, they'll apologize for getting carried away. And that's when we know that someone in the past squashed that dream. That's how we can tell that someone in their past, whether it was a critical parent or that teacher or that advisor that told them they couldn't or they shouldn't or they're not good enough, you know? Somebody in their past shamed them into thinking that's not possible for them. And that's when you get that. But we know different, don't we? Don't we?
Yep.
Oh, good, thank God. We know different. I know that Spirit does not give us a passion for something without giving us a way to make it work. You know, we are not given these wonderful ideas, these big ideas or little ideas without a way for them to manifest in some form, in some way. Now, of course, for years and years and years, I wanted to be an NBA player. No, not really. But if I did, it was not going to happen, okay? I'm 5 foot like one on a good day. But the idea is I could still be involved in basketball if I felt like it, right? I could coach, I could do this, if I really wanted to express that dream, of course I could in some way, in some form. It is always a way to live your passion. There is always a way to live our passion. We couldn't even have that idea if there was not a way for us to make it manifest in some form in the physical world. We are here to live through that. To live that passion and that purpose in the world. That's why we are here. And those critical voices from the past, that's just what they are, from the past. That still small voice, that intuitive self, never tears us down and never holds us back. Those critical voices, the voice of the world may, but that's not the truth of us. That's not the truth of us. That still small voice we have within us, that speaks. That is our highest and best self. That speaks to our potential. That speaks to all of the things we can do in the world, regardless of the critical voice or the critical parent or whatever that other voice in the head is. Children should be seen and not heard. Do what you're told. Don't you love that one? Do you remember that when you were a kid? Just do what you're told. You can't do that, you're a girl. I used to get that one a lot. You can't do that, you're a girl. And so I spent the better part of my younger years doing that just because, you know, I could. Just because I could. Oh, yeah, well, watch me, you know. When exactly do we get permission to speak our truth? When we exert our own personal power to speak our truth. Nobody's stopping you any longer. Nobody's telling you just do what you're told anymore. We are here to stand in our own power and to speak our own truth. My past does not define me. My past does not limit me. Our dreams are accomplished one step at a time, those little tiny penguin steps that Jacob Glass talks about, those little teeny tiny penguin steps. One step at a time. Big dreams are accomplished by little teeny tiny steps. Ernest Holmes in The Practical Application of Science of Mind said this, life is what we make it. Well, he didn't say that. That's been said a long time ago, but he was quoting that. Life is what we make it. Of course, we do not mean that anything we as individuals can do will change the nature of reality. It is self-evident that we cannot do that. What we can do is change our individual relationship to reality so that it presents us with new and happier experiences. This is practical application of the science of mind. Life is calling to us. Life is calling to us always, all the time. Do we have the ears that hear? Will we awaken to the truth of our own divine nature? Will we have the strength to stand and reverse our position in the law daily and stand in the truth of our power and our wisdom, instead of flowing with the human race consciousness of ain't it awful? Will we answer the call? Will we answer the call? Ernest Holmes, in his book, The Art of Life, I think it used to be called This Thing Called Life, anyway, they changed the title. He wrote this a long time ago, and I just want to read it to you because it is so timely now in the world in which we live. He said, "The world is crying out for God, lost in the canyons of disillusionment, where the trail runs out and stops against the granite barriers that wall us in. We cry, why hast thou forsaken me? When war is devastating the land and trembling, and we stand at the mouth of hell, listening to the screaming airplanes, the wails of the wounded, and the terror of the headlines, we cry, why hast thou forsaken me? The answer to our need lies not in God's willingness, but in our will to accept, in our ability through faith to recognize the divine presence as the great reality of life. The power of God within us is like a sleeping giant, which must be awakened that it may spring into action. What is the secret longing of your heart? If you saw an advertisement which read, you can learn how to be happy, well, and successful. You can learn how to influence people, how to create your own destiny. Would this have a greater attraction for you than an advertisement which read, you can learn how to help others? Or would you be even more intrigued by an advertisement that read, do you wish to become one of the molders of human destiny? That's what we're here to do. That's what we're here to do, to awaken to our magnificence, to help others, to be the molders of human destiny. Is that what you want?
Yes.
Do you want to be well?
Yes.
Do you want to be happy?
Yes.
Do you want to be successful?
Yes.
Do you want to create your destiny and help others?
Yes.
Create theirs. To become the molder of human destiny. Then answer that call. Your life is calling. Answer that call. Thank you so much. Thank you.